There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks tech today, and I'm very pleased to welcome a man known as Nick Radar, or even Nick Rago, who can tell, but either one fits.
That's never going to die, is it?
I'll tell you what, that's never going to get old. 5 years' time, you're going to walk in, we're still going to think we're funny.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, I know. Yes, but up with it, Nick, unfortunately. Nice to see you. How are you?
Nice to be here. It feels a bit echoey in the studio today.
Well, we're down to
what
people.
Have you done with the lovely Natalie Lynn Taylor? And producer Danny.
That's for me to know and you to find out. As you well know, they're at the Dubai International Film Festival.
Awesome.
So we're going to talk to them a little bit later on. However, and see what Natalie's wearing on the red carpet.
I shall judge accordingly.
I've already asked her, who are you wearing? And she just looked at me and shook her head and walked away, which is her general response.
Wouldn't expect anything less. But we love you, Natalie.
Let's talk about the rubbish Kickstarter today, because I've been listening through this all day. And this is traditionally these days how we start this segment. You go on to Kickstarter, look at something, mm-hmm. and deride it as being utterly meaningless, which is that's good.
It's part of my job.
It is.
I wear it with pride.
It's sort of why you're here. I'm wondering about today's
rubbish Kickstarters,
because I think this time of year people are really into their camping.
That's why I've chosen it.
Well, that's what I thought, so mm-hmm. it's timely. But this is essentially a better way to cook when you're camping, or, and this is the great thing about it, it could also heat your sleeping bag. I mean, how good does a thing...
That's like a million health and safety things, warnings, red flags, everything right there, honestly.
Yeah, I know. So this is the Morph Cooker.
The all-in-one electric camp stove.
Yeah.
Think about it. You know, all the times we've gone camping in the wilderness, as you do in the deserts of Dubai,
yeah.
and you've wanted to cook something or, you know, start a fire and things like that, and you just think, you know, this is just terrible, and there's smoke coming in your eyes and you can't get the fire going. You just want to, you know, heat up a kettle to make tea or whatever it is. You just can't do it. And that's kind of where the Morph Cooker comes in. And it's basically an electric camp stove. It's sort of collapsible in the way that you can basically change it from different levels. So you can have like a pot, you can have a frying pan or a skillet, different kind of levels that you can cook with it. And yeah, it basically you can charge it up before you go out camping. Or obviously, as with most things with technology these days, you can charge it using wonderful solar panels. Now, I think solar panels are the, you know, the one of the most annoying things to see in Kickstarters. As soon as I see a Kickstarter using solar panels, I immediately relegate it to rubbish Kickstarters, because people think that solar energy is some sort of the end of all our energy crisis and everything. And so if you can tack on a solar panel to your device, it's going to be fantastic and worth, you know, all the money you're pledging to it. So in true form, these guys have said that you can either charge the Morph Cooker using a regular power outlet, or you can use the a combination of solar panels. Now, if you thought just using it as cooking was great, stay tuned, but because apparently, if you're in the desert and you're feeling cold, why would you start a fire when you can just slip the Morph Cooker into your sleeping bag and turn it on and warm up your sleeping bag?
See, that makes a great deal of sense. Now, there's a great story with this as well, and I don't want to labour the point, but I've clipped a few things from his video, as I do. Let me just do the pitch first of all, and I'll tell you the story of the creation of the Morph Cooker next.
Introducing Morph Cooker, the next generation of camping stove. Seconds Morph can be hot, large, or small. Fry pan. Fully cooked breakfast? No problem. Grill press. Cooks your steak in 3 minutes. It's a barbecue. Express water boiler with an easy pour spout. Oven. Freshly baked bread on demand. Or even a cake.
I mean, that gets you, doesn't it?
It's all wonderful things of marketing spiel, but in essence, how much electricity would this thing use from its store in order to get hot enough to be cooking breakfast and boiling water? A considerable amount, I would imagine.
It's a very good point. I mean, you can use solar to do this. You can charge it, plug it into your car. You can plug it in at home. So it seems like the answer to everything. And what he wanted to do was create the Swiss Army knife of stoves, which is an anomaly in itself, I think.
Which is something everybody was waiting for, let's be honest.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
3 years ago, his dad was burned, had a faulty gas stove that set his tent on fire. So Lawrence, who created this, thought, this is what I need to do. Do you know what, though? It's got more.
Easy magnetic locking handles. It's waterproof and has been tested in 80 mile per hour winds.
which is going to get you, isn't it, if you're camping in or out in the wilderness?
Yeah, it just sounds so weird. I mean, and the more I listened to it, the more put off I was. And I said, no, I just have to talk about this on the radio and see what people would think of it.
Well, it'd be interesting. If you are thinking this is the answer to my prayers, the Morph Cooker, we'd be interested to hear from you. If you think it's nonsense, and I'm getting the feeling you think it's nonsense, Nick Rager.
I do. Okay. But, I mean, I have to kind of look at what they're, in terms of funding, what they were looking for. They were looking for 20,000 New Zealand dollars to make this happen.
Right.
They have 34 days for funding to finish. They've raised, are you ready for it? 8,400 New Zealand dollars. So if anyone out there is interested in investing in the Morph Cooker, you can jump on Kickstarter now and give them your hard-earned cash, but please don't.
Let me just have one more chance at trying to sell it to you, because this, if you think about all the things it does, you can charge it anywhere there's a socket. You can charge it with solar power.
Yes, there's a socket in the middle of the desert. I did not know that.
Charges with solar power. It could be used anywhere. It's easy to clean. It's billed as the world's smallest multi-purpose stove, 18 millimeters tall. That's not enough. This is the best bit.
The Morph Cooker is loaded with a high-powered LED torch. Morph can heat up your sleeping bag. Morph can save your life.
Oh, wow.
Keeping your vitals warm up to 8 hours.
See? I told you it was good.
I love how in one of the one part of the demonstration video, he basically takes this what is essentially a stove out of his backpack and presses it against his knee, because his knee has sprained or something, so he needs a hot pack.
Yeah.
And that's, you're basically going to be pressing a stove against your knee.
Yeah, so it's a thumbs down, is it?
Very much, firmly two thumbs down.
Okay.
But text is now 4001. Would you invest in Morph Cooker?
I love it. Nick Rago's here from Tech Radar. We're going to be looking at the... one thing I did want to bring up with you was the most watched videos of 2017. And it's a surprise, and it's next. Finally, Nick, I get to you. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
YouTube revealing the most watched videos of 2017. Mm-hmm. I suppose the first thing that comes to mind, generally I think of something like Despacito, mm-hmm. for example. Music videos, that's up there. But it's not the most watched, is it?
No. The most watched video of 2017 was basically Until We Become Dust, by Oyster Mask. And it's basically a show where celebrities have basically costumes, and this particular celebrity was dressed up as a singing oyster, and right. the rest is history.
Okay, why have I not seen this?
I don't know. It's literally come out of left field. I'm like, for the most watched video ever, why is this the first time I'm hearing it?
But the thing is, I mean, this year, and it kind of demonstrates the growth. If you look at, say, think back to Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
Which is, what, four years ago, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
It took a little while to get to 1 billion views. We were all amazed when we saw 1 billion views. That's just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
The amount of data we consume now has quadrupled, quintupled, whatever the number is. If you look at Despacito, mm-hmm. got to 4 billion, I think it was. 4.5 billion views, is it there? Somewhere around there.
Something. I was trying vehemently to get that song out of my head, because it was everywhere I looked.
Well, we're going to be talking to Luis Fonsi, maybe at Diff. He's in town, so... we'll find out about that. But it's amazing that it got to that level in the same time as it took for Gangnam Style to get to 1 billion.
It was the most watched music video of this year. So that came in first. Second place was Ed Sheeran with Shape of You.
Right.
And then Bruno Mars was number 5 and Jason Derulo number 8. So yeah, there are a couple of videos in there. Ed Sheeran Carpool Karaoke, funnily enough, did 5th as the most watched YouTube video for this year. So some interesting results they posted by YouTube.
Okay, what about your chosen social media of choice, which I suppose is Twitter? Is that
it
kind
is,
of your number
it
one
is. I'm all about the Twitter.
Yeah, you are. Barack Obama has eclipsed Donald Trump. This was a headline, or has been a headline over the last day. Most popular Twitter posts of the year. I really liked his quote, and this was just as Charlottesville was mm-hmm. happening in mm-hmm. the US. He quoted Nelson Mandela, "No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion." So more than 1.7 million retweets, the second most popular tweet of the year.
Yeah.
Which I think said something. It was so appropriate for the time. He's eclipsed Donald Trump, bizarrely, although, you know, clearly the president is very successful. But the most popular tweet of the year.
I'll give a guess.
Go on, have a go.
Is it something to do with a particular kind of fast food?
It is.
Was it Mr. Nuggets McNugget?
It was the Wendy's Nuggets tweet, yeah. If you think about all the political stuff, all the humanitarian stuff that's gone on this year,
yes.
The one thing was an appeal for
that
free chicken
through.
Nuggets. Yeah. Yes. 8 months after posting the most viral tweet of the year, yo, at Wendy's, how many retweets for a year of free chicken nuggets, the response to which was 18 million. Mm-hmm. Carter Wilkerson is still 14 million retweets short of getting his nuggets.
Yeah, but he still got it. I mean, Wendy's, they decided to go ahead and give him his reward, and in the process he raised quite a bit of money for charity as well, and there were a lot of kind of cool things that came out of that. But it was, you know, it's nice to see things like that, because Twitter as a medium can at times be caught up in a lot of very interesting is the word I would use, debates out there. So it's nice to see, you know, these off the cuff things coming in every now and then, and just kind of giving a little bit more of a lighter tone to a medium such as Twitter.
It is light and shade, isn't it? Because if you think about 1.7 million retweets for President Obama, his tweet about hating people or not hating people, put it in context, 1.7 million, Carter Wilkinson, 3.6 million. Yeah. That's the world that we're currently living in.
The world needs nuggets.
It does. That's
what it is.
Right. It's Drive Live Talks. Technique Rago is here. If you have a question for Nick, text it in, because we've not seen him stuck yet. Natalie texts in, think about this for a moment. I just wanted to find out what you think about the Babbel headset from Google that can translate in all languages. Is it a good Christmas gift? The answer to that in a moment.
Drive Live Talks Technology.
He's from Tech Radar, joins us once again, our tech expert. Let me go back to Natalie's question, if you don't mind. Just wanted to find out what you think about the Babbel headset from Google. It translates for you. Good gift, do you think, Nick?
Well, these are the Pixel headphones, basically, that Google was, you know, tooting a couple of weeks or months ago. Basically, when you wear them paired with the Google Pixel's phone, it sort of gives you on-the-fly translation. And to be fair, I have never played with them because they're not available in this region. Right. However, the instant translation thing is, from what I'm hearing, kind of not quite there yet. There are a few times where it doesn't provide as instantaneously a response as it was shown in demonstration. So I think just if you're just looking at that for translation, it's probably not the best buy, given you can do instant translation just on your phone just by holding it up. So using the Google Translate app. So you don't necessarily need to have the headphones to use this feature. The only thing that it makes it kind of easier is that it feeds the translation directly into your ear. So that's one benefit. But you can use the translation straight away on the fly using the Google Translate app. Audio quality I'm hearing is not bad. What I'm hearing is a bit of an issue is the fit, because it has a kind of fabric loop that you've got to adjust to fit into your ear properly. So if you slightly tug on the cord, then the loop loosens and then the buds can fall over your ear. So I think it's very much a first generation model that they're looking at to see what people are thinking about it and whether they can make any improvements. So honestly, Natalie, I think it's more of the hype and the marketing spiel that Google has thrown out at it that makes it appealing. I personally would, you know, if you're looking to give a good headset to someone for Christmas, this wouldn't be my first pick. There are definitely better models available from the likes of Bose or Jabra or Sony. So that's my viewpoint on it, Natalie. Thanks for texting in.
Okay. I can see the logic in this, though, because it's going to hopefully give you some idea of pronunciation, because, you know, you still need to read off your phone, don't you?
Yeah.
So I guess that's the thing. But it's a wearable.
Well, the thing
first
is...
first generation wearable.
Yeah, it's true. But on the app itself, you can activate the dictation mode. So basically, when the translation is done, it reads it out, so you know how you're pronouncing it, or you don't need to pronounce it, because the other person will hear your Google Assistant saying it for you. And I did this when I was in London a few months ago, actually last year, where there's a woman who was desperately lost in Heathrow Airport, and she could only speak in Spanish. And she just grabbed me. She's like, you know, basically in Spanish, indicating she didn't know which gate and which, you know, flight she was supposed to be, which gate she was heading to. And so I basically just literally, without even thinking, I just indicated to her, like, give me 1 second. I took up my phone, activated Google Translate, and had a conversation with her right there. And she was fine after that. So, you know, the technology exists already. Things like the headphones basically make it more convenient.
Interesting that she picked you out of all the people.
Well, probably because I look the most approachable with my pleasing personality.
I'm also surprised you don't speak Spanish.
I know. I speak French of all languages, Delight.
Well,
French
that's useful, not. Nonetheless. All right, so that's Natalie, that's your question. Thank you for that. Thoughts on the iPhone X?
Well, I think I've said this on the
phone. We've done this loads of times. Yeah. I mean, have your thoughts changed?
No, because I've never used the phone. I've never used an iPhone, so I'm probably not the best person to ask. My boss, the boss, has one. He loves it. So, yeah, if you're an iPhone person, then go for it. If not, then maybe just have a play around in the store and see if it's the phone for you. It is a lot of money, though.
It is.
So, if you want to part with that much of cash, then that's the phone for you.
What's it, 4,100?
Around 4,000. Yeah, yes. It's ridiculous.
It is a lot of cash to pay. Yeah. However, people will pay it. We're really short of time today, unfortunately, but I did want to get you to comment on this because you sent an email earlier on today. How is this for feeling old? Why are you feeling old today?
Well, because texting as of this Sunday turns 25 years old. And I remember texting for the very first time when I was in university because I used to borrow my mom's cell phone. It was a Nokia 3210. And I would text using that. And it was hilarious because you'd be furiously typing on that little keyboard and sending text messages to everybody. There was no WhatsApp. There was no way to, you know, get people into a group chat, nothing. It was just like having separate multiple SMS conversations with people and then trying to coordinate with everyone was a nightmare.
Where would you be without texting now, though? Because that's how we communicate.
Well,
now.
Without WhatsApping anyway. Yeah,
well,
no,
WhatsApping.
Yeah, I think, you know, the reaction I was that if you get a phone call from someone, something's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's, people say, like, why are you calling? I was like, because I wanted to say hi. No, you can just message me if you want to say hi. I'm like, okay. You're weird.
It's a weird world, isn't it? Now, I remember didn't get a mobile phone until 1996. It was an Ericsson phone, and texting still takes me ages because I'm all thumbs. But it was, you know, it was that 1, 2, 3 tabs.
Yes, yeah.
Ah, it drove me insane. But it was an add-on, wasn't it? It was just somebody thought, oh, we'll bung this service in there. Yeah. We'll never catch on.
Yeah. Well, look where we are today.
All right,
wonderful then. Times.
25 years of texting. That's all the time we've got today, unfortunately, on Drive Live Talks Tech. Nick Rado, Radar.
It's going to keep changing every week. I'm going to make a little whiteboard and write them all down.
You should do that, like the little boards we got in here. You know, speak now and things like that.
This is my name.
Nick Rago is from Tech Radar. Lovely to see you, Nick. Thank
you
for coming.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.